for a long time, cancer hospitals were actually off the hook in terms of publicly reporting of any quality measure. But if you think about how much money we're spending, there should be a lot of attention paid to the kind of value that people are getting.
That is Doris Peter from the Consumer Reports Health Rating Center. This week, we've been hearing about revolutionary ways to track and treat cancer. But when it comes to choosing where to go for treatment, Peter says there's no objective way for patients to tell which cancer centers have the highest patient survival rates or the lowest percentage of bad outcomes after treatment. There are signs of a breakthrough in this area, but how soon will patients benefit? Today, in our series, This Moment in Cancer, WBUR's Martha Beebe tells us about efforts to identify which hospitals and doctors are providing the best cancer care.
We're going to dive into the world of cancer care quality through the prostate, that walnut-sized gland lodged precariously below a man's bladder in front of the rectum. A lot of the early work on quality focuses on prostate cancer, a diagnosis nearly one in seven men will hear. Poor quality prostate cancer care may mean men lose control of their urine, can't have an erection, or die sooner than they should. So how do patients decide where to go for the best prostate cancer care? Ron Dombrowski did what most patients do. He called a bunch of friends and colleagues.
And the consensus from all these people is just pick up the phone, call Dana-Farber.
Which is where this 65-year-old software engineer from Plymouth has come for his first appointment with a radiation oncologist. Dr. Neil Martin says an MRI shows Dombrowski has stage 3, or maybe stage 4, the most dangerous cancer. Dombrowski stares at the doctor through thick, black-rimmed glasses, hands twisting in his lap. Martin leans forward.
I want to be sure that you don't die of this cancer. So we need to help you make a treatment decision then. You have this high-risk cancer. You need to deal with it, and we have to decide.
Dr. Martin outlines two options: surgery to remove the prostate, or radiation that would kill cancer cells in the gland. He explains the pros and cons when it comes to the top three concerns for most men: survival, incontinence, and sexual function. Dombrowski listens intently, then says he's most likely to choose surgery.
If we go inside and take out the prostate and be able to biopsy it, look at the lymph nodes and everything else, what I want to do is I want to know what the problem is and how to fix it.
Ron Dombrowski says he likes to make decisions based on facts. But in this exam room, in the heart of Boston's medical mecca, he's missing some. He doesn't know which doctor has the highest survival rate or the lowest rate of patients with incontinence or sexual dysfunction after surgery or radiation. And Dombrowski says he'd like the Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center to share data that proves it is better than other cancer hospitals.
If you want to be recognized as being the best, you have to do this.
Dr. Martin nods.
You deserve to know those rates. You deserve to have more information. And I think we're committed to trying to figure that out.
Actually, Martin is at the forefront of a movement to figure out how to measure quality for cancer patients. He's part of an international team of experts who've agreed on 11 ways to assess prostate cancer care. Dana-Farber, Brigham and Women's, and Massachusetts General Hospital began collecting some of this information about 3 years ago. Early numbers reveal that even at these world-class hospitals, some doctors perform better than others.
It's safe to say that there are likely significant differences among surgeons.
Dr. Neil Wagley, the Associate Chief Quality Officer at Partners Healthcare, has just begun showing doctors their numbers. But there's no plan to show patients how one doctor compares to another. Wagley says doing so would undermine his goal to help lower-performing doctors learn from colleagues.
If you're forcing them to compete among each other by showing individual surgeon data, it doesn't necessarily foster that cooperative learning environment.
But it may be too early to argue about whether report cards for prostate cancer doctors should be public, because it's still not clear what doctors should do to earn an A. The measures we've talked about so far are based on patients who have surgery or radiation. But about a third of men don't need either procedure right away. So what does quality care mean for them?
It's uncomfortable. It's like sitting on a lump right now. But that'll go away because I'm just stuffed with gauze.
Len Olbricht lowers himself onto a couch at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, where his doctor just took samples of his prostate for a biopsy. 3 years ago, Olbricht was diagnosed as a low-risk patient, meaning his cancer is not likely to grow or spread for some years. For now, he's in active surveillance. Olbricht has tests and rectal exams every 3 months and a biopsy every year or two. He says all that poking is still better than dealing with incontinence or problems with his bowels or sexual dysfunction after surgery or radiation.
Every treatment has side effects. And the reason I'm sticking as far along as I can with active surveillance is to avoid the side effects as much as possible.
His urologist, Dr. Andrew Wagner, says all low-risk prostate cancer patients at Beth Israel Deaconess are told that active surveillance is an option. But that's not the case at many hospitals, says Wagner. Research shows that the range of low-risk patients on active surveillance varies from 20% among some doctors to 80% among others.
So you can go to one urologist in one town and be offered surgery. And if you happen to live one town over and go to a different practice, you'll be offered active surveillance.
Of course, patients don't know which practice is which. Maybe the percentage of patients in active surveillance should be another measure. Experts in all types of cancer care are looking at ways to compare quality, from time out of work to anxiety levels during treatment to the rate of vomiting during chemotherapy. There's more progress on prostate cancer than on most cancers. But even with prostate cancer, there's no agreement about how to compare cancer hospitals. Dr. James Moeller chairs the Prostate Cancer Guidelines Panel for the National Comprehensive Cancer Network.
The need is great, and this is difficult to do. Hopefully, we're going to arrive at some type of consensus about how to do this to help our patients who are afflicted by cancer.
Patients like Paul Drouillet, a retired air traffic safety control expert at MIT. Drouillet had radiation a decade ago, but within a few years, there were signs the treatment didn't work. Drouillet says he might be better off today if his first doctor had explained all the treatment options and shared his performance record.
I haven't run into doctors who proffer that. You know, no one really likes to be publicly graded.
Drouillet switched doctors several years ago. He had a period of stability, but now it looks like the cancer is back. Blood tests that measure Drouillet's PSA show it is doubling every 6 weeks.
You know, it's a matter of time. I have a fatal disease. It's going to kill me, and the issue is to keep it at bay as long as it can.
Some experts say it's especially disturbing that patients can't compare quality in cancer treatment, where doctors often suggest expensive, cutting-edge options. As researchers press ahead with new therapies, perhaps they can speed up efforts to compare doctors and hospitals that deliver that care. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.